Have you ever felt so beat up? Have you ever felt like things just aren't going right? You feel like you're alone. You feel like that you're in this battle all by yourself. Your joy has been depleted. I've been there. And I know you have as well. And you know what brings me relief in times like that? The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Because at the name of Jesus, the enemy has to leave. You can't be divided when you proclaim the name of Jesus. When you feel like you're at the end of that rope and your hands are given out, Jesus is there saying, then let go. There's a comical story about that, about a gentleman who's over the edge of a cliff and he's hanging onto this tree limb. And he calls out, he goes, Jesus, help me. And Jesus says, let go. The man looks up at the sky again and he goes, anybody else up there? Because he's sure that he's going to fall to his death if he lets go. So he's gripping on to this limb. Jesus, come on, this is my last appeal. Help me.
Let go.
Okay, Lord, I'm going to let go. And in faith, the man lets go of that which he thinks is the only thing keeping him from sure death. And he falls 6 inches to the ground.
Jesus says, how's the landing? God is all-knowing. Amen. And he knows what you're playing with this morning. He knows what your struggle is. He's not a stranger to it. All you have to do is call out to Jesus. I'm done. That's a good sermon, huh? Oh. You're expecting more? Well, after all, we didn't let you go till 12:30 last week. So I'm just getting warmed up, right? Yeah, there won't be a repeat of that. I'm not going to clown around with you. He was a good clown. He restored my faith in clowns. Loving Heavenly Father, I sense because of your Holy Spirit that there's someone here today who just feels like they're holding on. They've tried everything in their own strength, their own power. And you're encouraging them to just let go. Stop trying to do everything in your own strength and power. Let go and rest in Jesus. Has Jesus ever brought any of us any harm? No, he hasn't. Difficulties,
this world system. Others, they bring us harm. But they are not the loving Abba Father who has provided his own Son who loves us. You need to know this morning, God loves you. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. We need to remind ourselves of that simple truth sometimes. Jesus loves you. He's not out to slam your head against a guardrail or even up against the wall. Jesus loves you. You got to know that. Much like mothers have loved us. Good segue. Title of today's message is The Perfect Mother. Have any of you either had one or been one? You're lying. If we look back at the very beginning, the first parents, Adam and Eve, Eve, even with all of her knowledge that God had given her, Eve blew it. Amen? So what makes you think that you as a parent or even that your mother was a perfect mother? Proverbs 31, verses 10 to 31, is going to be our passage today. And honestly, ladies, I am not holding up these verses for you to try to compare yourself with or to tear yourself down. The last thing I want to do is do any of that. I'm here to encourage you that this is what God wants mothers to be like. However, it is only through his strength, his abilities, that we can be a perfect mother. And mothers, thank you. Thank you for spending time raising your children, teaching them how to love the Lord your God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, because that's the one thing. If they don't get anything else, this is like Curly speaking to Billy Crystal. Here's the one thing that I want you to get. Teach your children to love God. That's your one responsibility. Making sure their clothes are pressed and cleaned and all that stuff, that's frivolous stuff. Teaching your children to love the Lord God Almighty is the number one lesson that we as parents are supposed to teach. And guess what, guys? We don't get a free ride off that one either. It's our duty just as much. And guess what? They see more than they hear. You can tell them all day to love Jesus, but unless they see you loving Jesus, if they don't see a life truly trying to be Christ-like, they're going to see right through your words, and they're going to see your actions, and your actions are going to speak so much louder. Because honestly, I thought for a while I was raising deaf children. Child, are you not listening to me? What? What, Daddy? Didn't you just hear what I told you? No. I mean, seriously, I took them in to get their ears checked. And their hearing was perfect. So it wasn't that they had a hearing defect. They just didn't see me loving Jesus. And if they had, they would have heard it louder. Amen. Beginning with verse 10. A wife of noble character, who can find? Exactly, Solomon. Who can find it? Well, she's worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She's like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She's clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Oh, many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Out of this passage, I was able to glean, if you will, 8 descriptives of a perfect mother. And so if you will venture with me, in verses 10 to 12, a wife of noble character who can find, she's worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her, lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all of her days. You see, the perfect mother is, first of all, trustworthy. Trustworthy. And to be trustworthy means that you are dependable, you're faithful, you're loyal. Even when everything else around you is just kind of falling apart. Oh, Mom, you're dependable. You're faithful. You're loyal.
You ever had that child whose world just everything's gone wrong? You know, that little red-headed girl in the sandbox took his toy. And you told me not to hit girls. So I'm going to come cry to you, Mom. Mom, a little red-headed girl in the sandbox took my toy. Mom goes out there and looks at the little red-headed girl. She takes care of business. Why? Because Mom's dependable. She's loyal. She's faithful. Mom's the one whose arms that you would crawl up into and be comforted. Which takes you to point number two. Mom's a nurturer. A nurturer is one who feeds, educates, prepares, and loves. The Hebrew name for mother is M. And that word M is comprised of two Hebrew letter symbols that means keeper of living waters or strong waters. So I've recently heard that the name Emma has come out to be one of the top five names that people are naming their little girls. Emma is a Hebrew word meaning mother. Verses 13 to 15, she selects wool and flax, works with her eager hands. She's like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark, provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. You got to think back of the time that this was written in. There was no electricity. They had candles or they had oil lamps. And so the mother would get up and light those oil lamps or light those candles to bring light into her home. Why? So that the rest of her family would not stumble around. They're a nurturer. Isaiah 49:15 on the bottom of your outline. Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. So though there are no perfect mothers in the world, we have a perfect father and mother in our Heavenly Father. Amen. For in the book of Genesis, it says that he created male and female and in his image. In the image of God, he created them both. God is perfect. My mom comes second. Yeah, my mom. Oh, no, your mom? No, your mom, I got by a legal thing. And she's a typical mother-in-law. She's just really, you know, tough on me. You know, Sharon says good. Yeah. No, I love that woman dearly. But I also love my mom. I saw my mom just, you know, my dad would go off to work every day. My mom would get up in the dark. And she'd fix his bacon. She'd fix his eggs, his toast, his coffee, and have it ready for my dad so that he'd come out. And then she'd go back to bed after he was gone. She'd make sure she gave him a kiss goodbye. Have a good day, honey. And off Dad went to stand at a machine for 10 hours a day. And my mom would take care of her house. Why? Because women are nurturers. You know, see, this is why in Ephesians, it doesn't order the wife to love the husband. That's just something that is naturally inside of you. Women, you are nurturers. You know how to love. Whereas God orders men to love their wives. But he tells the wife to do what? To respect her husband. Well, he better act respectable before I give him respect. No, that's not the way it works, girls. Sorry. You got to give them that respect. And when you give them that respect that the Lord says you're to give them, they will light up and they will give you that love that you're wanting. The battle is in the heart. You've got to be willing to respect your husband. But what if he ain't respectable? Pastor, you're talking really vain things here, but what if he's not respectable? Pray for him. Don't judge him. Pray for him. Because the prayers of the righteous avails much. Does the man need your criticism? Does he need you to be all over his back and telling him all the things that he's doing wrong? You're going to get more bees with sugar than you are with vinegar. If you're just pouring out vinegar, they're going to run. Just saying. That's why I'm so sweet to my wife. Love bank points. Oh, yeah. As for the five sermons before where I knocked her, I'm back. Yes. So, perfect mother is trustworthy. She's a nurturer. Third, she's financially savvy. Proverbs 31:16-18. She considers a field and buys it, and out of her earnings she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. She's financially savvy, which means she's frugal. She's prudent. She's penny wise. Let me take a man survey here for a moment. Men,
I'm talking to you. Get your toolbox out.
How many of you reach into your toolbox and grab your pair of scissors and cut coupons? I rest my case. Whereas women, they will not only cut out coupons, shop on Senior's Day so they can get that 10% extra off, but even though they find the most perfect answer to what it is that they were shopping for in the first place, they will still go to three other stores to make sure that they're getting the best price. Whereas men, no coupons in our pockets. We see it. It fills the bill. We're buying it. We're not going to waste all that extra gas and time. We're going to get that tool. We're going to go. All right? Thank you, men. For those men that are not that way and you cut out coupons, God bless you. But a perfect mother is financially savvy. She cares about her budget. She wants to make sure that her family is being fed well, taken care of, that they don't look like, of course, nowadays, I don't know, with the fashion trends, it's okay to have your kids running around in holy jeans, right? So don't buy them perfect jeans.
Give them the hand-me-downs that are worn out, because then they'll look really special at school. Wow, where'd you get those Levi's?
From my cousin.
Okay. Well, your cousin has rich tastes.
No, they wore these for 10 years. I finally got my 10 years out of them now.
The perfect mom, number four, is a provider. In her hands, she holds the distaff, and she grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has absolutely no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She's clothed in fine linen and purple. She's a provider. And part of that provision is that she protects, she safeguards, she shelters, she's caring. However, moms, though you are all those wonderful things, you see those 300-pound linemen in a football game who have just had a fantastic game and they're being interviewed, and they go, "Hi, Mom." It's never, "Thanks, Dad." It's, "Hi, Mom." Why? Because you are the nurturing type of person that comes around, and that makes a big impression upon your children. But moms, do not suffocate your children with blankets. Unless you are prepared to take care of them until they're 50s and 60s. Instead, equip your children with wings. We want to make our children capable of dealing with the world and sustaining themselves. If you have to keep putting blankets on them to shelter them, it's not a fault of your child, it's your fault. You are insecure. You need to be secure and let your child be secure as well. Because guess what, Mama? You ain't going to be around every time they fall down and skin their knee. You need to teach them how to take care of themselves, how to be successful in this world. That's what being a real provider is about, is teaching your child how to protect themselves. So take them to Taekwondo. No, that's it. Number five, the perfect mother is strong. Oh, she's strong. She's sturdy. She's durable. She's resilient. She's tough. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes a seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength. She's clothed with strength. Strength doesn't mean that you've got to go to the gym and pump 350 pounds on a weight bench. Strength is being that unmovable force when storms of life are erupting in your child, that you can be that steady force that child can run to. And they can just wail out on you, and your love will never fail them. So how do you get that love, Mom? You've got to expect and receive that love from God, because he's the same way. When things are too tough, you can go wail and complain, get on the ground, kick and scream, and God will hear you. And he'll calm you down. And he'll ask you, can you say this one word for me? Jesus. Because he's your answer. Jesus. So the perfect mother is trustworthy. She's a nurturer. She's financially savvy. She's a provider. She's strong. Number six, she's dignified. She is dignified. And dignified means that she's honorable, she's stately, she's gracious, she's noble. She's dignified. Ladies, you have to understand your value. And this is the thing that is being lost on too many of our young girls. Our society is teaching them to just trash their image, to be anything and everything that they, meaning the public, wants. And our girls are growing up not understanding who they are in Christ, and that their body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Moms, teach your girls to be dignified. Because I'll tell you what, the girls who weren't dignified when I was growing up in school, they didn't get much respect. Teach your girls to be dignified, to save themselves for marriage. The perfect mother, number seven, is a teacher. She's a teacher. Who potty trains the child? Usually the mama. Moms are teachers, they're trainers. They're instructors. Don't put your hand up there on that hot pan or on that burner. It will burn you. And the Dane Bramage child goes over and sees that pan, and they're just fascinated with that pan. They just, for some persistent reason, they just have to touch it. And they touch it, and they get burned. And they, oh boy, do they cry. And what do you do as a mother? Do you stand there berating them? You brain dead child, what is the matter with you? Are you deaf? I'm taking you to have an audiology check on your ears. I told you that would burn you not to touch that. Why did you touch that thing? You're touching it. Why are you touching that? I told you not to touch it. Are you some kind of a moron? You have your father's genes. I told him not to touch the pan too. Check out your father's hand when he gets home. It's burnt. You must be your child, his child. Because I've told you not to touch that thing. You're a teacher. You're an instructor. You're an educator. How many of you moms have sat down with your children and read to them at night? You're instructing your child that there are these things called books that contain words in them that one with an education can read. And you are partaking the wonders of a book to a child. You're taking them into lands, and you're stretching their imagination. You're helping them out in life to not just feel like that they're confined in a box and that they can never be anything more. No. You're teaching them to be greater than who they really are, to give them hope. Lastly, and I think this is truly where being the perfect mother, this is the final answer right here. The perfect mother is God-fearing. The perfect mother is God-fearing. She's wise. She's disciplined. She's knowledgeable. Why? Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that fear doesn't mean that you're trembling, scared of him. Fear means that you have an honorable respect for God. You are a God-fearing woman. And if you are a God-fearing woman, in all those other areas that were described in Proverbs, you could be a complete failure. But if you're a God-fearing woman, your child will see that. And they will want to imitate it because, trust me, our children and our grandchildren are some of the biggest imitators around. And they will imitate what they see and what they hear. So when you close the refrigerator on your finger or the door on your finger, be careful what kind of language you use around your child. Because I have seen the innocent of all children come up and say some words, and I'm just going, wow, you're too young to be a sailor. Where'd you pick that up from? And they point right at you. Be careful. You're training up a child. Charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned. Let her works bring her praise at the city gate. I gave you a couple of other proverbs there as well. Proverbs 10:1. Read that with me, please. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son grief to his mother. Amen. And a foolish son brings grief to his father and bitterness to the one who bore him. None of us want to see a stupid son. None of us are going to be the perfect mother unless you are a God-fearing mother. And if you are a God-fearing mother, then in God's eyes, you are perfect. Amen? I want to recognize a visitor, a new person here today. Her name is Scarlett Rose. Faye's holding her, of course. But we just got Scarlett Rose. In our family. Congratulations, Anna and Wiley. Congratulations. Please raise her in the fear of the Lord as you guys are walking as well.